You're listening to the Mosaic Podcast, brought to you by Jewish Federation of Palm Beach County. Each episode of this podcast will offer you excerpts from the Mosaic TV news magazine, which airs Sunday from January to April in the Palm Beaches. Mosaic explores the most pressing issues facing the Jewish community here at home and around the world. And now, here's your host, Susan Shulman Pertnoy.
Welcome to our 45th season of Mosaic. I'm your host, Susan Shulman Pertnoy. Mosaic is Jewish Federation of Palm Beach County's weekly news magazine. We're exploring the most critical issues facing Jews here and around the world. The war in Israel has brought not just personal turmoil, but also economic upheaval to many of its citizens. The disruption to the labor force, small businesses, and all parts of the economic engine are threatening Israel's stability. Today, we'll find out what our federation is doing to help and learn about an innovative business that is doing its part to ensure things stay on track on Mosaic. Joining us today is Eldan Kay, who is the Vice President of Development and Partnerships with the Ogin Group, and Michael Hoffman, who's the President and CEO of our Jewish Federation of Palm Beach County. Gentlemen, welcome to Mosaic.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Our pleasure. Eldan, what is the Ogin Group?
So Ogin is a social lender, one of Israel's largest and most prominent social lenders. We were established 33 years ago as an interest-free loan association by Professor Eliezer Yaffe, who was inspired by the U.S. model of interest-free loan funds that were developed over 100 years ago to take care of the local communities. Over the last 6 or 7 years, Ogin has expanded our offering and included social loan funds that
enable...
What
does that exactly mean, social loan funds?
So the social loan fund, the concept is that if we previously relied only on philanthropy to be able to distribute loans, social loan funds, because we add a little interest rate on top of the loans that we gave, it means that we use philanthropy in a different way. We can leverage philanthropy and access sources from the capital markets, from banks with credit lines, with bonds that we structure. And it means that, you know, if previously the funds that we had were a drop in the bucket in what we were able to do, all of a sudden the access to different sources of capital means that we can impact so many more lives in this way.
And what's your mission?
Our mission is really to create opportunities in a financial sense to marginalized communities, families, small businesses, nonprofits, who the banks oversee, they overlook because they view them as risky, they view them as not profitable. And we believe that everyone should have the opportunity to create a pathway for themselves. Important to state also that alongside the financial opportunity, we provide the know-how. We create mentoring and financial guidance opportunities.
Wonderful. Yeah. That's necessary to go along with the financial, ensure that you're repaid.
Absolutely.
Michael, why is it so important for our federation to partner with Ogin?
So we're looking as a Jewish federation, how can we best impact the needs of Israel during this extraordinary time? When the crisis in Israel first broke out, we allocated monies raised through our Israel Terror Relief Campaign to provide immediate relief. We helped support those Israelis who were displaced, immediate needs related to trauma and victims of trauma. Now we're looking at what are some of the longer term needs. And what we've seen is that there's 900,000 Israelis who have been adversely impacted by the war, 350,000 who were called up, 200,000 who have been forced to leave their homes up north and down south, and another couple hundred thousand Israelis that aren't able to work because they're caring for their children if the schools are closed. The business sector, especially the small business sector, is one of the most critical needs in Israel. There is an estimate that between 20 and 30% of small businesses were at risk of failing if there was not additional support for them. If you think about it, the Israelis who were called up, they're the ones who either owned the businesses, they worked in these different businesses. There's no tourism. The economy is significantly stressed right now. So for us to provide support, partnering with Ogin to help provide these loans for so these businesses can persist, can basically push through while Israel is in the midst of this crisis, we want to do what we can to ensure that the economy of Israel is able to stabilize.
And Eldon, how important is our partnerships like the one you have with us?
I mean, we can't even begin to describe the importance of it. We feel that we've sort of landed home, and thanks to Michael and the team for making this an opportunity. You know, without philanthropy at the center of what we do, and communal philanthropy especially is really important to us, we're not able to reach the mission that we're striving for, which is saving so many of these businesses that Michael mentioned from closure. Over COVID, 70,000 businesses closed. There's estimations that it could be up to 100,000, even more, businesses closing. You know, they create jobs for 42% of the workforce. If we're not there for them today, the economy will be so much more challenged in the next few years.
Eldon, with Federation's participation in the Israel Emergency Relief Fund, 100% of the donations go directly to Ogin. Tell us what you do with the money.
So we're very fortunate to have some very generous supporters who have said to us, we understand the scale that Ogin is going to need to operate at. We will help cover some of the infrastructure needs and the growth needs of personnel. And therefore, our relationship and our partnership enables us to take the money that's donated and to directly divert it to small business lending capacity. We leverage some of those funds with bank capital, so it means that often four times what we raise we'll be able to distribute in loans. So it's a very, very meaningful way of impacting Israeli economy today of all days.
Michael, if one of the viewers who is watching this is just motivated and wants to get involved, how did they do that?
So one, we're so fortunate to be able to partner with Ogin. Their expertise is second to none. And the work and the impact that they're providing to support these businesses in Israel is something that we have deep appreciation for. If someone wants to support the work of Ogin through this loan fund, they can make a contribution to the Jewish Federation of Palm Beach County, to the Israel Terror Relief Fund. And they can direct their gift in support of this loan fund. 100% of all contributions will go directly to Ogin so they can put money out in the street, support these businesses, support these business owners, and they can keep their businesses open.
Thank you. On that note, we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this brief message. Coming up, we'll learn more details about our partnership with the Ogin Group and how it's helping Israelis through this difficult time. Stay with us.
Mosaic is brought to you through the dedication of generous corporate sponsors who fuel the work of Jewish Federation of Palm Beach County. We thank American Commercial Realty, Appleby Udenfriend Wealth Management, BDO, Bremen Motor Cars, Bruce Gendelman Insurance Services, Commodore Singer Baseman and Braun Attorneys, First Republic Bank, FPL, Rogers Design Group, and Shapiro Pertnoy Companies.
Welcome back. We're continuing our conversation with Michael Hoffman, CEO and President of Jewish Federation of Palm Beach County, and Eldon Kay, who is the Vice President of Development for the group, the Ogin Group. Michael, you've been to Israel several times since October 7th. Can you tell us your observations?
What Israel is going through right now is it's an existential crisis. What we've seen Israel go through several missions and groups that we've taken to Israel these past 100 days, initial shock, there's initial trauma, deep concern about the Israelis who are being held hostage. They're still being held hostage. Obviously, there's a great deal of trauma over to the families of the 1,200 Israelis who were brutally murdered. And we're sort of in a stage where we're seeing Israel's resilience sort of at its best, which is something that I'm in deep admiration of. How Israelis are putting one foot in front of the other right now is something I just can't comprehend. So we're at a point where these Israelis the shock has seemed to have subsided a bit, and they're now looking towards a long-term recovery of their country. And the long-term recovery obviously means how will they ensure that there is safety and security in the country on all of its borders and all of its fronts. We're also seeing how Israel can rebuild itself, rebuild and reconstruct itself in the south where so much destruction took place, but it also rebuild itself of bringing its society back to where it was prior to October 7th, the startup nation, the strength of the economy, and the strength of all of its citizens to ensure that they're doing all they can to support Israel in all of its facets.
Eldon, what led up to this crisis?
2023 has been a very complicated year for Israel, and especially Israel's economy. We started off with the rising interest rates, which, you know, the whole world experienced, and small business owners more than others, as well as family homeowners experienced it. We then had this whole situation with the judicial reform process where, you know, Israelis were fighting, not literally, but figuratively, internally. Which created economic strain as well. And then, you know, just as things couldn't get any worse, this war hit on the 7th of October. So I think that it's been a very, very tumultuous year. And we have to keep it in context. We have to remember COVID's not long gone, and COVID also had a huge impact on the economy. So it's a very difficult situation that we have to build, and we have to, you know, take the situation into our control and try and bring back to the economy to where we think it should be.
Is there a concern about the long-term health of the economy?
From my perspective, absolutely. You know, Startup Nation, Michael mentioned it before, that's what Israel is known for, right? But that's only 10% of the population. Only 10% of the population is employed by Startup Nation, and although it is...
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you would think that it's, you know, Everyone is part of Startup Nation, and it is a huge part of the economy, don't get me wrong. But as I mentioned earlier, 42% of the workforce is employed by small businesses. Small businesses, you know, 97% of all businesses in Israel are small. They only have 16% of the credit given by the banks. So there's a real issue of access and opportunity that we have to build.
Okay, and to build on that, I think what we appreciate from Ogun is we also recognize is that the economies in the periphery of Israel, in the northern part of Israel, in the southern part of Israel, they're the ones that are in deep, deep crisis right now. Because again, there's a lack of tourism, there's a lack of individuals being able to just serve as workers in these small businesses, in these shops, in these restaurants, in these small factories. Business owners have been deployed, so they may not be able to manage their companies. But if we don't do something as a collective, partnering with Ogun to help stabilize and support the small businesses in the northern part of the country, in the southern part of the country, that's going to have a significant adverse impact on the state of Israel. And that's why we're so happy to partner with Ogun, because they're playing such a significant role in helping address these concerns.
Eldon, where's the Israeli government in helping to support what Ogun does?
So I think the Israeli government is very well-meaning, you know, but it's challenging. There's so many needs on the ground. Ogun in 2023 has built 8 different projects with the government in different arenas. When it comes to small businesses, the situation is a little bit more complicated. Ogun has been invited to be a part of a state guarantee fund, and we're hoping to be included in that. That will help us ensure that we can give the riskiest loans to the most sort of underprivileged or unsupported businesses under this scheme and make sure that donors' capital goes further than ever before.
I've actually read that the default rate for Ogun borrowers is the same as for traditional, those who borrow from traditional bank. It's only 1%?
So
it's remarkable.
It is remarkable. We have to sort of differentiate. For families and individuals on the interest-free side of things, it is less than 1%, actually, 0.7%. For businesses, we're talking around the 2.5% to 3% mark, which is still, you know, unbelievable if you think of the target audiences that we're approaching here. And I think that has to do with our approach, We come from a social lens. We're a nonprofit. We try and help people through troubled times. If they call us and say, I can't make the payment, we will do everything to ensure that business is supported in their ability to repay. And even in the underwriting process, we'll ensure that we give only a loan to a business that is able to repay. The last thing we want to do is harm a business in the process.
Of course. Failure's not an option.
Exactly.
In our last segment, you mentioned that only 10% of the Israeli population is part of Startup Nation. Yeah. But they're some of the wealthiest Israelis. Has the wealthy Israeli community participated in helping with Ogin?
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things that we're very proud of. We have developed relationships with several philanthropists and impact investors from the Israeli public that are part of Ogin in a big, significant way. Around 40% of everything that we've raised under this emergency campaign has come from Israel itself, with previously young sort of next-gen entrepreneurs who really loved Ogin's model, wanted to be a part of it and invested in our bonds, which are aimed at the Israeli public. We've raised nearly $50 million from the Israeli public, institutional investors such as pension funds and insurance companies, but also private Israelis that really care about the mission.
That's wonderful, and it's important for the donors in the diaspora to know that Israelis are participating.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a one big challenge for all of us to partake in together, right? It's not just one community's responsibility, it's as a collective.
Michael, I know that some local businesses want to collaborate with Ogin. Talk about that for us.
So we're certainly seeing some donors reach out to express an interest in providing support for this loan fund program or other loan fund programs that we have been partnering with. This is also unique because of the incredible expertise that Ogin is providing in support of the Israeli economy through this loan fund. We're actually seeing several companies and corporations and banks that we've been in contact with also want to provide some support to Ogin and help them raise capital. And they're viewing this, one is, on one hand, there's a bit of their own mission in wanting to support Israel during this critical time, but I think more importantly, they're viewing this as an investment, and they're viewing this as a recognition of the strength and resilience of the people of Israel and the Israeli economy. And so for these companies to basically start conversations with Ogin to provide some capital to go into the loan program, I think that's another way that we're seeing individuals and corporations and business leaders provide this support for the people and for the state of Israel.
Are you seeing any pushback from traditional lenders?
Not really. I think there's an understanding amongst, Israel only has 5 banks, unlike the U.S. where there's 5,000 banks. I think the banks understand that we're reaching a target audience that they're just not interested in working with. And they see us as a completion of their services. In fact, we have amazing relationships with banks. We have credit lines from mainstream banks. We have investments from them in our bonds. So the banks understand Ogin's role here. They're supportive of it, and they realize that there's no overlap.
And I think what we're also seeing from the banks and from these corporations and companies and these business people, they're recognizing the sophistication of what Ogin is offering to the Israeli economy. That, again, these are very sophisticated approaches. They're doing what they can to ensure that all the businesses, there's a thorough level of due diligence to ensure that these are sound loans that are being offered up. There's a low, the percentage rate of individuals not repaying is incredibly low. It's minuscule, as we had talked about. And that, again, that goes to the credit, and that goes to the expertise that Ogin is providing. And as a Jewish Federation, you know, we are so pleased to work with an organization that is just the experts in their field, and they're helping ensure that whether it's an investment, it's a philanthropic investment, that it's the soundest investment that can be made right now in support of Israel.
Looking towards the future, what is Ogin doing about preventing something like this happening again?
Well, I think, you know, there's a long-term piece here that we're envisioning. Israel, as I said earlier, only has a number of banks. Ogun's mission is to try and get to as many families, small businesses, and nonprofits as possible. We're looking at different vehicles. One of those vehicles could be one day a social bank that has a license from the Bank of Israel, but acts as a nonprofit. I mean, these things exist in other countries, like here in the U.S.
That's a great, it would be a great opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking likely.
Are there plans to expand Ogun outside of Israel?
No, we see it as our mission to support the people of Israel, where we've got a lot on our hands as it is. There's so much work to be done. We work across the board as well. We're sort of colorblind in a way. We're happy to support anyone who is Israeli, regardless of their background, their religion, where they come from. So there's a lot of work left for us here in Israel.
Nobody has a crystal ball, but how long do you think it will take for the recovery of Israel?
I think it's going to be a long process. I don't think it'll happen overnight. Obviously, this war is still playing out. Nobody knows whether the north will erupt. We're hoping that it doesn't. But there's also a situation where people are not feeling safe to come back to their homes. So I think everybody's aware that something needs to happen in the north. Hopefully, it's a sort of political agreement rather than a war. But in terms of the economy, it's going to take at least a couple of years, the way we see it, before businesses feel that they can continue to expand and continue to get back to where they were beforehand. We're viewing 2024 as a year of emergency, regardless in terms of Ogun's activity. So at least a year after that is the way I see it personally, before we can see a recovery.
And how are federations dealing with this?
So as a Jewish federation, we fully recognize that we have to be in this for the long haul. Israel is still many years away. Israel is kind of rethinking and redefining what it means to be normal again. There's significant redevelopment that has to take place in the southern part of Israel, in the northern part of Israel. There'll probably be a different level of retraining that has to happen for the workforce in Israel. We don't know what the crystal ball holds, but we do know that our Jewish Federation will be committed to Israel for the long haul, and that's the impact that we're trying to have.
Well, that's a great place to end. Thank you so much for joining us today and for all the work that both of you do.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mosaic Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to Mosaic on your favorite streaming platform and to leave us a review. Want more? Visit jewishpb.org/mosaic, where you can access full episodes of the show. To stay connected with the Jewish community of the Palm Beaches, visit jewishpb.org or follow Jewish Federation at facebook.com/JewishPalmBeach.